Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. As a hockey player, Ted Nolan won the Calder Cup. As a coach, he was awarded the NHL Coach of the Year. He's won numerous other accolades that he could not have foreseen growing up on his First Nations Reserve in Ontario. And along the way, he's overcome numerous barriers, including racist taunts about his Indigenous identity. He's here today to tell us how he rose above those challenges and became a role model for young Indigenous athletes. We're back with Native in the Spotlight, Ted Nolan, right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. With Joe Biden's term coming to a close, supporters of Leonard Peltier are urging the president to grant executive clemency. Peltier has been serving two consecutive life sentences for the murders of FBI agents Jack Culler and Ronald Williams in South Dakota in 1975. This Wednesday, representatives of Indian Collective and Amnesty International sent a letter to Biden, citing the number of tribal nations and leaders, Nobel Peace Prize laureates, and law enforcement officials who've supported Peltier's release. This includes James Reynolds, the former U.S. attorney whose office oversaw Peltier's prosecution. Peltier is now 80 and is being held at a federal penitentiary near Orlando. An Anishinaabe Lakota tribal member, he is reportedly in poor health and requires a walker. The agent's deaths occurred during a shootout with American Indian Movement members. One AIM member, 23-year-old Joseph Stunt of the Coeur d'Alene tribe, was also killed. Tribes were mentioned several times during Thursday's U.S. Senate hearing for President-elect Donald Trump's nomination of former North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum for Secretary of the Interior Department. Senators on the Committee of Energy and Natural Resources said their support for Burgum's confirmation from the five tribes in the state and the coalition of large tribes. A letter of support was read from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe of North and South Dakota. Much of the three-hour hearing focused on energy development. Public lands, water, and conservation were discussed. Democratic senators, including Maria Cantwell of Washington, were among those to mention tribal consultation. Burgum described how he sees it.
Spending time and going to the tribes, listening, sometimes listening for hours to really understand what the issues are. We achieved MOUs on law enforcement. I mean, some of the scarcest and most devastating law enforcement in this country right now is the lack of BIA agents on federal land. I mean, some of the tribal reservations have become harbors for criminal organizations because they know that we don't have enough resource there. And then our local county sheriffs, the state police, in many cases didn't have jurisdiction.
While the Department of the Interior manages the country's natural and cultural resources, it also oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Indian Education. In South Dakota, a flag representing the Flandreau Santee tribe is being displayed in the Capitol Rotunda following the tribe's announcement that it's lifting its ban against Governor Kristi Noem. Last year, all nine tribes located in the state banished the Republican governor from reservation lands. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
In a letter dated January 14th, Flandreau Santee Tribal President Anthony Reeder said the Republican governor met one of their stipulations contained in its banishment resolution, an apology. Reeder said Noem apologized in several meetings for comments she made last year about Native parents and kids, which for tribal officials was the final straw after a series of contentious exchanges. A spokesperson for the governor's office said multiple tribal members attended those meetings. Flandreau is the first tribe to lift its ban. The Flandreau tribe's flag is also the first to be displayed in the Capitol since the Rosebud and Standing Rock tribes displayed theirs almost a year ago. Both tribes asked their flags be removed following Noem's comments last year. The Secretary of Tribal Relations, David Flute, is encouraging other tribes to consider sending their flags to be displayed in the South Dakota Capitol. That, he said, would continue Noem's vision of having all nine tribal nations represented in the rotunda. The Flandreau tribal president wished Governor Noem luck ahead of her Senate confirmation hearing for the Department of Homeland Security. That hearing was scheduled for Friday morning. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
And I'm Brian Bull, hosting from KLCC in Eugene, Oregon.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Kuktash. For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods. Tepary beans, pinoli, polentas, and more, all from store.ramonafarms.com. Ramona Farms supports this show. Om Yeh. Educators, ready to transform Indigenous education? The NISN School Design Fellowship is accepting community letters of interest through January 31st at NACAinspiredschoolsnetwork.org, who support this show.
Support by First National Bank Alaska, helping Alaskans shape a brighter tomorrow since 1922. Learn more at fnbalaska.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. Ever since he was a kid, Ted Nolan wanted to play hockey. He even built his own ice rink in his backyard on the Garden River First Nation Reserve in Ontario, Canada, and taught himself how to skate. He played in recreational games until he made his way into junior and minor leagues, eventually getting drafted by the NHL's Detroit Red Wings. After a career-ending back injury, he started coaching, notably with the Buffalo Sabres and the New York Islanders and some international teams. In addition to the highlights, Nolan has discussed being the target of racism by fans, coaches and players, and other setbacks because of his Indigenous identity. Now he runs hockey camps and a scholarship fund to support Indigenous athletes. Ted Nolan is our January Native in the Spotlight. We also want to hear from our listeners today. Are you a current or former hockey player? Is hockey a popular sport in your community? Have you ever been on a pair of ice skates? Join our conversation with comments or questions by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also leave a comment on our website or social media pages like Facebook and Instagram. Joining us now from Southern Ontario, Canada, is Ted Nolan. He is a former NHL player, an award-winning NHL coach, a former Olympian, and the president of Three Nolans. He is also the author of the book, Life in Two Worlds, A Coach's Journey from the Reserve to the NHL and Back. He is Ojibwe from the Garden River First Nation. Ted, hello. It is a pleasure to have you on Native America Calling today. Welcome.
Hi, Sean, and thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with your upbringing. Growing up on the Garden River First Nation Reserve, one of 12 children, you loved playing hockey from a young age, but from reading your book, the thought of someday playing professionally, that wasn't what it was about for you.
On our reserve, especially in Northern Ontario and Canada, the winters are pretty long, and hockey's a pretty big sport, especially in our First Nation community. And we had a men's team on the reserve called the Garden River Braves. You'd think of a better name. But anyways, Garden River Braves, and that was the team that I hoped to grow up to play on one day. But every time I went to the rink, to skate the outdoor rink that the community made, all the adults seemed to be on it all the time. And there's never room for us kids. So I went home, and I'm going, geez, the kid doesn't look that hard to make a hockey rink. So I grabbed the pail of water. I pumped the pail of water, walked behind my house, put the pail of water on some snow, packed it down with my feet, and I walked back. I was only, Sean, I was only about 7, 8 years old doing this, and I could just imagine how many pails of water that it took me to build that rink. But, you know, it's kind of, it's funny, you fast forward into modern day, and when I speak to a lot of our kids growing up in our communities back, particularly here in Canada, I talk to them about goal setting and dreams and ambitions, and it's one pail of water at a time. It's one step at a time. And you know, if this skinny little Ojibwe kid from Garden River First Nation could play in the National Hockey League, anybody could do anything. So that's I've been really trying to relay that message for a long, long time.
Well, I find it really interesting and inspiring. You talk about your parents a lot, and your mother was a guiding force in your life, but also your father. And you describe he always, first and foremost, when you came off the ice from a game, his first question was always, did you have fun? It wasn't about the competition. It wasn't about scoring the most goals or win. It was always about fun for him. And it sounds like that was it. That was a good way to be fathered.
No question about it. And like I said, I lost both my parents. Excuse me, way too young. I lost my father when I was only 15, 16 years of age. And I lost my mother through a drunk driving accident when I was only 20 years of age, 21. But growing up in a household that lacked electricity at times, we didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outdoor toilet, and times were lean and tough. And sometimes you woke up, you didn't have too much food to eat. But tell you, Sean, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. The one thing that we lacked in material things, we certainly made it up for love and nurturing and caring, and the parents did as best they can. And my father always told me, and he was the welfare administrator on our community. And the one thing he told me when I was 10 years old, he said, don't you ever rely on that government, and don't you ever get welfare. And I'm going, I didn't know what the government was, and I certainly didn't know what welfare was. But as I grew up, the best gift he ever gave me was the ability to work. He told me if I want things in life, you have to work. And sometimes you might have to work harder, but that's just what is presented to us. So I couldn't have asked for a better father. And my mother was the flip side of it. She was very involved with our cultural way of life. She ran the annual powwows. The news just before it came on, Leonard Peltier. She was a house mother hen for the AIM movement guys when they came up to Canada. So my older brother Terry at the time, I believe he was a member of the AIM movement. So all these guys stayed at. So I got the best of both worlds. I mean, I got to witness and hear about our history live from people who went through it, and I got from my father about things are going to be tough, but you got to be tougher and you got to work.
Now, you describe your parents speaking Ojibwe between themselves and with other elders, but it wasn't spoken directly with you kids. And tell us more about that, because I thought that was an interesting feature there in the book when you describe what your parents' view was on the language and being taught at home.
Well, we all know the stories in our own communities about residential schools and how they took our kids and put them in schools and they're punished. They got their hair cut off first of all, then they're punished if they ever spoke the language. My parents, they didn't want that to happen to us. And some of the horrific stories they told us about kids, and one I still get. I still get shakes about it, and I still get excuse me for one second. But anyways, it sends chills down your back. How one of our kids were caught speaking a language, and she told me, you know what they did? They nailed his tongue to the board on the lawn. I was 8 years old listening to those stories. And so as much as I think they wanted us to learn the language, the fear of that happening to us was overwhelming. So they spoke English all the time. I know enough to get by now, but at the time that was in who could blame them? I mean, when you want the best for your children, you want to make sure your children are safe. So when I got told that, I mean, it made all the sense in the world.
Well, like I shared with you before we went on the air, I followed your career for many years, and but learning about your upbringing, learning about your family and your parents, and just some of the challenges, it was really, really an eye opener for me. And of course, here you were, a young kid on your own rink, carrying pails of water, but you moved on up through the leagues, and at one point you were even sharing equipment with your brother, and you just share skates and other gear, but you made it through, you got into the juniors, and that was a challenging time as well before you made it to the minors. I mean, What was it? What is it about you? Because a lot of First Nations kids grow up playing Canada now and in your era as well. Not too many of them make it all the way to the pros. How did you make it, Ted? What do you think? What went into that?
Yeah, you know what, Sean, I think the way I got raised, first of all, and when I heard the stories of our elders talk about what they had to go through, the residential schools, the land taken away, the broken promises, the broken treaties, and you just hear so many horrific stories, and you see some people in our communities that, you know, they're down and out a little bit, they're down in their luck, they didn't, and you just looked at that, and I told my mom, and I went to my two uncles. My two uncles lived together, and I went there, and they're both alcoholics. And we used to go over, you know, periodically help them go through the dry heaves and the recovery from a 3 week or a month bender that they went on. And I always wondered what happened to them, why they're doing that now. And then once I found out, I told myself as a 10-year-old, that's not going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to me. So I think that I took that fire that our people had to go through. They didn't go through it for nothing. They went through it for us. So the best payback I could do is be the best I can. And so when I went to Kenora, Ontario, to play hockey for the first year. And that was the year that I, you know, we talked about the love of the game. That was the year that the love was gone. I didn't love the game anymore. I despised the game, tell you the truth. But the will and desire of our people, what they went through, the fight to, I didn't want to get chased home. If I wasn't going to make it, I was going to make it because I wasn't good enough, not because, They name called me too much and there's too much noise going on. No, I stuck it out. My two brothers came to town because my father just passed away that year. And they came to town to bring me home. It was 16, 18 hours away from my house. I played in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League. And they seen what I was going through and they tried to bring me home. But I said, Steve, if I quit now, the next tough situation in my life, I'll probably quit that too. So I'm going to stick it out. And now I look back, hindsight is 2020. And thankfully I did because the next year I played with the Sioux Greyhounds and the following year I get drafted.
All right. Ted, we've got to take a short break. We're going to come back and continue this conversation. A team of Washington Post reporters pored over thousands of records to document the deaths of Native American students during the Indian boarding school era. They found three times as many reported deaths than the recent report by the Department of Interior. We'll hear about the investigation and why finding the right number is important on the next Native America Calling.
Hey. Elle anishi yam ketsa nishi ton ate atun na tonice manna asna tonis ayo ya ne kadia na tonis yama kwa bos awa shu up to ta isto visit healthcare.gov/coverage kinawa na ta tonis 1-800-318-2596 sampena na kadawa Lukia Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to na penan itu lokenawe elakwa.
Thank you for listening to Native America Calling. I'm talking with Ted Nolan, former NHL player and the 1996-97 NHL Coach of the Year. He is our January Native in the Spotlight. Please join the conversation if you would like to ask Ted a question or a comment or anything related to his career or even the sport of ice hockey. You can do that by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's 1-800-996-2848. Ted, before break, you were talking about your time there in the junior leagues with the Kenora Thistles, and we have a photo on our website of you in your Thistles uniform there on the ice. You were just a teenager when you went. I think you were 16 or 17 years old, and you described in the book and just now just the taunts, the racism from players, from opposing teams, but you were able to eventually get the respect of your teammates, and tell us how that worked. How did you go from just barely hanging on there to succeeding and doing well and then going on to the next level?
Well, it certainly wasn't easy. There was another First Nation player on the team that when I got there, he was a local guy. And anyways, after about 2 weeks of training camp, he left. And I'm going, why are you leaving? He said, I can't put up with it anymore. He was getting cross-checked, and like we all were. But he just couldn't handle it. So I just took that as another step in saying, I got to stay. I really got to stay. So I just fought through it. And to this day, I don't know what made me go through it. And to tell you the truth, Sean, the year in Kenora is almost like a total blank. As I mentioned earlier in the show, that was a year that hockey became, it left from loving the game to trying to survive in the game. And I just wanted to survive. I just wanted, I remember growing up, my brothers tell me, I got six brothers, and they said, make sure you know where the exit is all the time. Make sure you know the escape route. Make sure you know where to how to run out of a place, because if they can get you, they'll get you. And I'm going, who's going to get me? It's kind of like the big bad wolf is going to get you. And so when I got to Kenora, I fully understood what they meant. So I couldn't handle two situations at one time. I was having a hard time at the hockey rink. I lost my love for the game, but my desire to prove that we can overrode the fear. And then school was the complete same thing. I mean, it was there was a lot of fighting at school, and so I couldn't fight at the hockey rink, then go to school all day and fight at recess time or noontime. So I stopped going to school. I just quit school, and I played hockey for the rest of the year. I won. Now I look back and I've seen some pictures and some scrapbooks that my mom kept. I won Rookie of the Year on the team. I scored 28 goals. But tell you the truth, I don't remember one goal, and I don't remember, two games my whole time there. But I remember hopping in that bus and coming home, though.
Oh, wow. Now, you have two sons who also played in the NHL. They made it to the highest level of the game. And, of course, there are other First Nations young people growing up playing hockey. And you hear stories about the junior leagues up in Canada, just how tough it is and just how rugged it is and the traveling and just, you know, it's just really kind of a do-or-die situation. What do you think it's like now, Ted, for young First Nations players? Are they dealing with the same kind of issues, the same kind of racism, the same kind of struggles, or is it improved?
It's improved a little bit, but I'm just saying a little bit. Like the nudge been nudged maybe an inch. We got about 1,000 inches to go yet, but it's getting a lot better. Both my boys, as you mentioned, both of them played during junior. But they had the advantage of having a father who went through the same league as they went through, the same hurdles that they're going through, moving away from home, living with a white community in a city, leaving a reserve. And I still remember my oldest son, Brandon, he cried like a baby for a month and a half, how much he missed home. So not only is it tough racially and intentionally on communities, but it's also tough just to leave your family. And so my kids were 16 years old when they left home to pursue hockey, and that was tough. So we had to walk them through that and tell them things were going to get better, and it got so much better. He still lives in that same community. He left when he was 16 years old. He still hasn't come home yet. So he adjusted really well, and Jordan was the same thing. And Jordan, that Brandon was drafted by the Vancouver Canucks and the New Jersey Devils, and he ended up playing with the Carolina Hurricanes. And Jordan was drafted by LA, and
KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, today southeast winds 30 knots, seas 15 feet. Tonight southeast winds 40 knots, seas 16 feet with rain. And Saturday southeast winds 35 knots, seas 15 feet with rain. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, gale warning through tonight. Today southeast winds 25 knots, increasing to 35 in the afternoon. Seas 14 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 40 knots, diminishing to 30 after midnight. Seas 18 feet. And Saturday, southeast winds 25 knots. Seas 13 feet with rain. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning tonight. Today, southeast winds 30 knots. Seas 13 feet with rain. Tonight, south winds 40 knots. Seas 17 feet with rain. and Saturday, south winds 25 knots, diminishing to 15 in the afternoon, seas 13 feet. Port Hudson and Nelson Lagoon, gale warning through tonight. Today, southeast winds 25 knots, increasing to 35 in the afternoon, seas 5 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. And Saturday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 3 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarishef, gale warning tonight. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 30 knots, becoming south 40 after midnight, seas 6 feet. And Saturday, southeast winds 30 knots, becoming south 20 in the afternoon, seas at 4 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain, heavy at times in the afternoon, highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s, southeast winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, rain in the evening, then scattered rain showers after midnight, lows in the lower 30s to lower 40s, southeast winds 25 to 40 miles per hour with gusts to 50, increasing to 60 after midnight. And Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming cloudy, scattered rain showers, highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s, southeast winds 10 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 40 in the afternoon. Your tide predictions for the Pop-Off Island. There was a high tide at 4:59 a.m. at 6 feet 10 inches, a low at 10:28 a.m. at 2 feet 11 inches, a high at 4:06 p.m. at 7 feet 1 inch, and a low tonight at 10:49, a tide of 3 inches. Your sun rose at 9:57 this morning and your sun will set at 5:46, giving us 7 hours and 49 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north, the rich men, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. 'Cause your dollar ain't this, and it's taxed to no end. Look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast milking welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, 'cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men know the rich men, Lord knows they all just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. 'Cause your dollar ain't ish, and it's taxed to no end. 'Cause the rich men, north of rich men. been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullish pay.
Here's to all the late night drunk phone calls that you picked up. Here's to all the bad decisions that you didn't judge. All the love yous and the hate yous and the secrets that you told me. Here's to everyone but mostly us. There's a couple billion people in the world and a million other places we could be, but you're here with me. Take a moment just to take it in, 'cause every high and every low led to this. I'm just so glad you exist. What a hello from a stranger turned into. Caught up in a moment like it's just us in this room. All the right words at the right time, and you know them 'cause you know me better than anyone else. We don't need anyone else. There's a couple billion people in the world and a million other places we could be, but you're here with me. Take a moment just to take it in. Every low led to this. I'm just so glad you exist. Don't you ever go, don't you ever go, don't you ever go changing. Never let me go, never let me go, never let me go, baby. Don't you ever go, don't you ever go, don't you ever go changing. Never let me go, never ever let me go, never let me go, baby. There's a couple billion people in the world, and a million other places we could be, but you're here with me. Take a moment just to take it just in, just to take it in. 'Cause every high and every low led to this. I'm just so glad you exist.
I thought I knew. I was looking for a change of scene. You were looking at a magazine. It was red carpets and limousines. The grass seemed so much greener. All we wanted was to get there fast. So we packed up everything we had, running on hope and a tank of gas. Like dreams ain't just for dreamers. We couldn't wait leave that life behind, trying to find salvation in that city limit sign. And one of those LA nights, when the stars come out, oh, the stars come out and shine. And the barn's so bright, they drown the downtown lights. When the stars, everybody, somebody, someday. Everybody's got a part to play. Everybody's trying to find a way to say what needs saying. Everybody's got a friend of a friend. Somebody that can get you in. Begging angels for a sin. The game that we're all playing. You and I, we're gamblers. Holding cards that we can't see. I'm betting on you, and you're betting on me. One of those LA nights, when the stars come out, oh, the stars come out, shine. And the barn's so bright, they drown the downtown lights. When the stars come out,
time now for your community window here on KSTP, starting with job openings. The QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, as well as an environmental assistant. The Shimigin Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Palouf Harbor Tribe is looking for an administrative assistant. The City of Sandpoint is looking for an EMS director. The Idaho Tribe of King Cove is hiring a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant, a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant, and a part-time pull tab sales clerk. Aleutian Housing Authority is looking for a lead carpenter for King Cove. Each is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. APIA is in need of a family advocate for Sandpoint, a cultural preservation specialist and family advocate for King Cove, a cultural preservation specialist for Accutan, and a family advocate for False Pass. Community announcements. King Cove and Sandpoint, you have home games today. The T-Jacks will be hosting the Eagles in King Cove, and the Rookies will make their way to Sandpoint to take on the Lady Eagles. You can listen to those games live here on KSDP, or you can enjoy them in person, free of charge, courtesy of KSDP. And today is January 17th, 2025. Happy birthday to Rosie Holmberg. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late, oh, please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place, and the world will be a better place.
And good morning, everybody. The big wave is here. Beautiful day today. It's supposed to be raining all day, I thought, but it's more a little drizzle. I call it dry rain. You know, it hits your body and it evaporates quicker than getting you wet. Oh, yeah, dry rain. Anyway, we have Sarah Darling coming up first with Something to Do with Your Hands. After Alan Jackson with It Must Be Love, and then the ever popular for me anyway, George Jones with The Love in Your Eyes.
You're the hardest working man in this town. Sun up to sun down. You're always formulating some sort of plan. 'Cause you need something to do with your hands. I've
dance on the ocean like a silver ballet that unfolds. I've seen the bright lights of old New York City. There's nothing in the world that shines like the love in your eyes, like the love in your eyes. Sometimes I wander and lose my direction. Sometimes I go over the line. But it's such a comfort and it's such a blessing to know that you're there all the time. And I feel I'm drifting on a sea of confusion. There's a beacon that always shines. It's the love in your eyes. It's the love in your eyes. The love in your eyes, the love in your eyes.
Yeah, we're coming up to the top of the hour. I'm not sure what the computer is going to do, spit all this off, and or maybe it's changed already to the top of the hour. I don't know. We're going to find out anyway. Here's Miranda Lambert with The House That Built Me. And then Buffalo Nichols after that with Lost and Lonesome, that is. And then Bonnie Raitt and Nora Jones with Tennessee Waltz. Let's see if this goes through here. 8-7. Well, I'll wait another 5 seconds and we're going to know. And I'll have to re-announce the songs again if it does.